Welcome to episode 1349 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. The commandment against misusing God's name is not abstract. Scripture illustrates what happens when people treat God's name and his presence casually. Today, we want to explore stories, not of foreign nations or obvious sinners, but stories of people within God's community who confused familiarity with faithfulness. They thought they understood God, thought they could manipulate God's presence, thought being close to sacred things was the same as being faithful to God. And in each case, something breaks. The people of Israel have just entered the promised land. God has given them a specific command. Everything in Jericho belonged to him. Take nothing. But Achan from the tribe of Judah takes some of the spoils of war for himself. He keeps them for himself, while the community believes it is honoring God's covenant. Then Israel goes to battle against Ai, expecting victory, but they are defeated. Joshua cries out,
Lord, why did you bring this people across the Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? If only we had been content to stay on the other side of the Jordan.
Joshua is devastated. He thinks God has abandoned them. But God says,
Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant. I said everything in Jericho belonged to me and had to be destroyed. But the Israelites have kept some of the things for themselves. They stole from me and hid what they took. Then they lied about it.
Notice the specific charge. They have stolen. They have lied. Achan has misused God's name by claiming to be part of God's covenant people while secretly breaking that covenant. His theft is not just a crime against Israel. It is a violation of God's name. It is a false claim to fidelity. When Achan is confronted, he confesses,
It is true. I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel, when I saw in the plunder a beautiful robe from Babylonia, 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. They are hidden in the ground inside my tent, with the silver underneath.
He invoked God's name. By participating in God's community, he claimed to be faithful to God's covenant, while actually serving his own desires. He misused God's name by using it to cover his unfaithfulness. The consequence is severe. Not only Achan, but his entire family suffers. Because when you misuse God's name, the damage extends beyond yourself. It affects the entire community that bears that name. Fast forward 300 or 400 years. Eli is a priest. His sons are priests. They are entrusted with God's sanctuary. They manage God's worship. They speak God's name daily. They invoke God's blessings. But listen to what they actually do.
Now Eli's sons were scoundrels. They had no regard for the Lord. They treated the Lord's offering with contempt. Moreover, before the fat was burned, the priest's servant would come and say to the one who was offering, Give the priest some meat to roast. He won't accept boiled meat from you, but only raw. If the man said, Let the fat be burned first, and then take whatever you want, the servant would reply, No, hand it over now. If you don't, I'll take it by force. This sin of the young men was very great in the Lord's sight, for they were treating the Lord's offering with contempt.
These men are priests. They speak God's name, oversee worship, invoke God's blessing, but their lives are marked by greed, sexual exploitation, and contempt for what they are supposed to be honoring. They are using their religious position for personal gain. They are taking the offerings that belong to God and using them for themselves. This is a blatant example of taking God's name in vain. These are religious leaders using religious language while living in a way that contradicts God's character. They are telling the community, through their behavior, that God's name does not actually matter, that you can invoke Yahweh while living for yourself. And what happens? The priesthood collapses. Eli dies. His sons die in battle. The ark is captured. The community loses trust in God's presence because those who claim to represent him proved untrustworthy. The misuse of Yahweh's name in Eli's household did not just damage God's reputation with his people. It opened the door to disaster. Years later, David brings the ark back to Jerusalem. It is being transported on a cart. And when the oxen stumble, Uzzah reaches out to steady the ark, and Uzzah dies.
The Lord's anger burned against Uzzah because of his irreverent act. Therefore, that place has been called Perez Uzzah to this day.
This story seems harsh. Uzzah was just trying to protect the ark. He was trying to prevent it from falling. His intentions were good, were they not? But the point is crucial. God's holiness cannot be treated casually. Familiarity with God is not the same as faithfulness to God. Uzzah's action revealed something. He had become so familiar with the ark that he forgot its sacred nature. He had confused proximity to God with reverence for God. He reached out as if the ark were just another object, not understanding that it represented God's holy presence. Presumption cost Uzzah his life. Not because God is harsh, but because he will not be domesticated. He will not be reduced to something we can handle casually. His holiness demands respect, not because God is petty, but because he is other. He is not like us. He cannot be managed or manipulated or approached without reverence. King Ahab wants to go to war. He gathers 400 prophets and asks, "Shall I go to war against Ramoth-Gilead, or shall I refrain?" All 400 prophets say, "Go, for the Lord will give it into the king's hand." But there is one prophet, Micaiah, who says something different. In 1 Kings 22, he asserts that the 400 prophets are not speaking God's word. They are speaking lies, being used by a deceiving spirit to tell the king what he wants to hear, not what God actually says. This is a profound violation of the third commandment: to speak in God's name while speaking falsehood, to claim God's authority while serving human ambition, to use God's name to deceive. Moses warned of this in his farewell speech.
"But a prophet who presumes to speak in my name anything I have not commanded, or a prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, is to be put to death. You may say to yourselves, how can we know when a message has not been spoken by the Lord? If what a prophet proclaims in the name of the Lord does not take place or come true, that is a message the Lord has not spoken. That prophet has spoken presumptuously."
God takes false prophecy as a capital crime because it damages God's name more than almost anything else. It uses God's authority to justify lies, makes God complicit in deception. The cost of misusing God's name is visible in broken community. Trust is destroyed. God's presence is withdrawn. People suffer. Families are torn apart. Nations are defeated. But these stories also show there is a way back. David, after the episode with Uzzah, responds not with bitterness or presumption, but with reverence. He learns to approach God's holiness with proper care, and God's presence is restored. The lesson is this: the third commandment is not meant to restrict joy or closeness with God. It is meant to protect the integrity of that relationship. Genuine intimacy with God requires reverence. True familiarity with God is built on faithfulness, not presumption. When you approach God with reverence, when you remember that God is holy, that he is not your possession, that his presence is a privilege and not a right, you protect the relationship. You create space for God to be God. And in that space, genuine relationship can develop. Ask yourself, where have I confused familiarity with faithfulness? It is easy, especially in prayer, to become casual about God. We talk about God as if we fully understand him. We assume he endorses our desires. We treat his presence as something we are entitled to. We bring into our battles and expect automatic victory. We reach out to touch the sacred without asking permission. But the third commandment asks, are you truly honoring God's name? Or are you becoming presumptuous? Are you approaching God with reverence? Or have you become so familiar you have lost respect? This week, we want to invite you to practice reverence. Not fear in the sense of terror, but reverence. A genuine respect for God's holiness, a recognition of God's otherness, an understanding you are approaching something sacred. When you pray, pause before you speak. Remember, you are addressing the God of all creation. When you claim to act in God's name, ask yourself, am I truly representing God's character? Am I being faithful or merely familiar? When you experience moments of God's presence, do not become careless. Honor what you have been given. Reverence is not the opposite of intimacy. It is the foundation of true intimacy. You can be close to someone and still respect them. You can love someone and still recognize they are not yours to own. The third commandment teaches us to bear God's name with both love and reverence, to be intimate without being presumptuous, to be close without being casual. Father, help us recover reverence. Help us understand the difference between familiarity and faithfulness. Help us honor your holiness while drawing near to you in love. That's our episode. Remember, God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full. Today,